The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male should be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, but for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him.
So let's return for the last time to this theme of gifts. We've spoken of gifts received, even in the past few days. We've spoken of the different nature of gifts, and sometimes the gift is the promise of that which is to come. We've connected it with this moment when Mary and Joseph take the baby, Jesus, into the temple in order to thank God for the gift of their son. And that's something we practice ourselves as a church. When a new baby is born, rather than in other Christian traditions where that baby is christened or that baby is baptized, our conviction is to leave that decision until the child has grown and can make their own decision as to whether they wish to follow Christ. And if they do, they are then encouraged to go through the waters of baptism. And so a very familiar scene takes place where a young couple carrying a baby walk into the temple, but something about that morning is different. Something enables Simeon to see in this child something that clearly he has been aching for and longing for all down the years. He will have been familiar with the scriptures that spoke about the promise of a child who would be born, who would be the savior of his people, the Messiah, the one who would correct all the injustices that they lived with day by day and year by year. And he sees this child in a way that others do not see him. Others will have brushed by that morning, jostling perhaps if it was a busy morning with Mary and Joseph going to buy their pigeons in order that they can offer them as a sacrifice at the temple. But Simeon sees something that others have missed. My eyes have seen your salvation, he prays to God, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. And it's this theme of, or this idea of having eyes of faith that is kind of the message I want you to take away with this morning. That sometimes we can miss something that God has placed in our path for us to see and for us to reckon with. And we need the eyes of faith in order to understand what it is that God is trying to say to us. Right at the beginning of the service this morning, we spoke about that, having our minds and our hearts open in order that we might hear if God is speaking to us. And you may say, well, how do we use eyes of faith? And the truth is, we use them all the time. You know, if you went down to Western Park, Great Western Park, there a few months ago, and they're still building the last few houses, but, you know, there were hundreds of houses up for construction. And amazingly, outside some of the sites, it was all sold, or seven sold, just one remaining. And you're looking at a house like this, you say, well, who would buy a house like this? Who wants to live in a house with no windows and no doors and no roof? And of course, the reason people buy them is they trust that the builders will complete the project. So what they're buying is the future promise, not currently what's before them. In the same way as some of the presents we've received are a piece of paper and an envelope, but what we're celebrating is the promise of what that piece of paper represents. If you go to our garden at the moment, your gardens will be the same. There's the first signs of little green things popping up. And it's not even the end of the year yet. We haven't even started the winter. And yet we've got these little stems coming up through the soil. And when you see them, you kind of point them out. Have you seen the daffodils starting to come? Not because we want a garden full of green stems, but it's the future spring. It's the idea that when we get to the other side of the snow and the ice, which is surely still to come, then that's what we celebrate. And here it's the trustworthiness of the seasons. We know that when we see the first green shoots, that the flowers will follow. And maybe in our own spirits it helps us to realize we can get through the winter because spring is coming, and beyond spring will be the summer. Sometimes we look in the eyes of a youngster And we see somebody who's 5 or 6. And sometimes people see the potential in that young life. And years later, that young 5-year-old and 6-year-old becomes the fastest racing driver in the world. But somebody saw that when he was 5 or 6 and decided to encourage the gift that he had. All of these are ways in which we use our eyes of faith on a regular basis. We are used to not just seeing what's now, but what's ahead, what's round the corner, what God has for us, maybe, in years to come. And on that morning, as Simeon held the child in his arms, he knew this was not just some other child. And I'm saying to you, this is not just some other child who was born. This is not just some other Christmas that we celebrate. This is now. This is the season when sometimes God wants to speak to us now. And we need to grab that moment. How do we then put these things into practice? Maybe the first thing that we need to entertain if we are a believer in Jesus is the need to take those next steps in putting our faith into practice. I said earlier that it's not the tradition in our Baptist churches that when a child is born, we don't christen or baptize them until they're older. We wait until they come to that place of making their own decision. And sometimes that happens at 12. It can happen at 15. It can happen at 20. I was in my mid-20s. When my faith started to come alive in a way that it had not been alive for years. I remember sitting in a church one Sunday evening and just listening to the gospel being preached, which I'd heard many times before, and realized that that night this was for me. And I needed to take that next step of following Jesus. And I went forward and asked to be baptized. And I think there are many in this church who have yet to take that step of being baptized. And I want to encourage you to see 2019 as the year in which we could see a real breakthrough in terms of all of us saying to God, I want to go the next step of the journey with you. So today I say to you, if you're intent on following Jesus, ask yourselves, what is the next step? It may be to be baptized. It doesn't matter how old you are. But it may be that that's the next step. Tim and I and George have been praying about a baptismal service on Easter Sunday to come. Maybe you could be a part of that. Maybe it's time that God says, the promise that I want to fulfill in your life is to take you to that next step of commitment in order that you would be ready to be my full-grown disciple. Some of us are not yet at that place of faith. Some of us are walking along the beach. We're wondering, is this for me? I want to say to you, it is for you. It's only a question of whether you want to open up your life to allow God to come in and take over. And that's a scary thought, the idea of letting God take over your life. Well, God doesn't take over in the sense that suddenly we lose control of our life. God actually empowers us to live a life for him. But it's allowing God, through Christ his Son, to exercise lordship over our lives. And it is a scary thought. And yet, maybe 2019 is the year that God is asking some of us to open up our lives and allow Christ to become Lord of all. That may be what it means for us to allow God to work in our lives, to have the eyes of faith for the year to come. For others, it may just be that as we pray, we begin to put more investment into our belief that God answers prayers. Now, even in this past year, we've struggled, we've wrestled with prayers because we know that sometimes we don't pray when we should pray. Sometimes we do pray when we should pray. Sometimes God answers our prayers. And sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we think God should answer our prayers. You know, some of you will know that all over the country, there are hundreds of people who joined a prayer movement some years ago to pray for North Korea. And every morning we try and say a prayer for North Korea. And to help us do that, we put on a wristband in the morning, as I've been doing now for 6 or 7 years. And I confess that even in this last week, my prayers have been frustration prayers. Lord, come on. It's winter in North Korea. It is appalling. In a country where there is no, for millions, there is no heating, there's not enough food, there isn't security, there isn't health care. Come on, Lord, when are we going to see the kind of transformation that we need? And you might be praying for a transformation in your family circumstances or in your own life. Let's put our investment into this prayer thing, believing that God can and wants to answer our prayers. Let's do it corporately together when we meet from time to time, as we're led in prayers, as we're saying prayers ourselves. Let's be serious as we can about prayers. Another way in which we can live with eyes of faith is to give generously. As we reach the end of this calendar year and step into the next year, as we see the ministries of this church continuing to flourish, and time again, when we meet in church meetings, when we look at the finance report, actually, we just give thanks to God that every time all that we need is provided. It's provided because God's people are taking this idea of giving generously seriously. But our plans for the coming year begin to stretch us far As you know, we're looking for a second associate minister. As you know, we're going to be considering towards the end of the month of January, do we extend the premises? Do we improve the entrance hall? Do we, all kinds of things that would change? We can do all of these things if we believe it's God's will, and we'll be testing that in our church meeting at the end of January. And if we then give generously in order to support these things. And it's not just for ourselves. One of the things that I'm proudest of this church is the ministries that we support around the world and around the town and around the country. So whether it's people struggling in the aftermath of Christmas with debt that they have incurred, Christians Against Poverty are there to help them get out of debt. The food bank is there to help those who haven't got the money to pay next week's bills. These are ministries that we're able to support financially in order that people can have that experience of suffering alleviated. And further afield, whether it's in North Korea or Afghanistan or parts of Africa or South America, we've got people working today from this country, sent out as missionaries, mission workers from those countries, working together in order to make Jesus known in word and deed. And our support for BMS enables that to happen, just as our support for home mission enables smaller countries dotted around this country who can't afford the full stipend of a minister sometimes to have a grant in order that they can call someone who can lead that congregation down through the years. Giving away our money as a church is not a frittering exercise. It's an experience of living generously, knowing that God will replenish the coffers as we have experienced as a church. And we'll recall this again towards the end of January when we speak about things like our Fund for the Future, which you may remember was given to us probably 8 or 9, 10 years ago. Now a major legacy came to us, and we put it into a fund for the future. And over the years, we've said, let's plan next year to spend more than we get in order that we can run down that budget. We can't seem to use it. There's always more at the end of the year has come in than has gone out. And it seems that God is saying to us, give generously, and I will continue to refill the coffers. What about reading the scriptures? Some of you, I know, read the scriptures every day. Others of you read the scriptures regularly. Others occasionally pick up the Bible and read it together. I want to encourage you to find a way of reading the scriptures more regularly, with eyes of faith. And what I mean by that is recognize that these are not just historical events that are being recounted in order that we would learn a history lesson, but in order that we might realize that this same God is at work in our lives today. So when we read the prodigal son and the story of the son who went away from his father, messed up his life, and then decided, I've got to go back to my father. And he goes back towards his father, who comes running towards him with open arms of acceptance. That's a fantastic parable that Jesus told. But the truth of it is as relevant today as it has ever been. Reading with the eyes of faith is recognizing that we're not just reading something from 2,000 years ago. We're reading something that is alive today. And lastly, loads of love. I want to encourage us as we prepare to begin a new year to see each other with eyes of love and appreciation and thanksgiving. All the things that are there latent amongst us. And just to be encouragers of one another. To recognize that there isn't a single person who is a part of this church, wholly by accident. Everybody here is part of the body of Christ that God is knitting together. Some have this gift, some have that gift. Some have these strengths, others have this. But together we belong as a body in Christ. And with the eyes of faith, to look out and not to focus on what we might have, what might be missing, but to be thankful for who we are and what we are. and to give thanks for the strength and the vitality of this church. These are ways in which we too, like Simeon, can have eyes of faith, to see beyond the immediate and to recognize that the year that lies ahead of us is full of potential if only we have the eyes to see it as God sees it, full of potential for us and for one another. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that without this amazing intervention in the history of the world, we would be a people without hope and without understanding. We would not truly grasp the story of which we are a part. The story that began when you created the heavens and the earth. The story that will end when you pull all these things together under Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for one another. We thank you for our own lives. We thank you for those things that we have been able to celebrate over recent days, being with family and friends especially. We pray that in this coming year, you'd help us to make it count for you. Whether it's here or away from here, help us to live lives that honor you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.